I am super excited about today's sponsor. It's a company called Thorn Technologies, LLC. So imagine, if you will, the AWS transfer family that gives SFTP endpoints for S3, but pretend it had an easy, predictable pricing model and didn't charge you on every gigabyte coming or going just because they could, on top of the actual service charges themselves. That's right. Thorn Technologies, LLC offers a product called SFTP Gateway. It's a thing we all used to build ourselves, only they give it to us via the AWS Marketplace for a fee that you know in advance that makes SFTP access between whatever needs to speak S3 and SFTP. Yes, in the enterprise world, there's a lot of those things. SFTP Gateway can also speak to other cloud storage providers like Azure and GCP. It has a web interface that's remarkably solid. It can be configured to be highly available, has a REST API that means you get to rest easy, and it makes just for a better outcome than anything you're going to be able to cobble together yourself, speaking as someone who's cobbled these things together himself. Check out SFTP Gateway. Visit snark.cloud/SFTP-thorn. That's snark.cloud/SFTP-thorn.
Welcome once again to the AWS Morning Brief, where I go through all of last week's AWS announcements fit to discuss. Let's begin. AWS enhances Chinese yuan payments experience for China-based customers, and this is extremely confusing. It updates an announcement from 4 days ago launching the payments initially, but doesn't tell us what changed in those 4 days. Does anyone know? Amazon Fault Injection Simulator now supports logging to Amazon CloudWatch logs and Amazon S3. Typical. First, AWS undercuts the market by making cloud outages cost only 10 cents a minute so you get hooked. Then, they steadily find ways to make those outages more expensive. Amazon Kendra adds spell checker for queries. It immediately segfaults upon reading a list of AWS service names. Amazon RDS for Oracle now supports allow weak crypto parameters for the Oracle native network encryption option. It was significantly after its launch that Neptune supported TLS at all, so I think we can say that Oracle is the company with the superior security posture here. No? New Amazon RDS for MySQL and PostgreSQL multi-AZ deployment option, improved write performance and faster failover. A subhead of this article here, and I'm not kidding about this, is introducing the new Amazon RDS multi-AZ deployment option with two readable standby instances. That's right. AWS has finally learned that they're so bad at naming things that they have decided to experiment with not giving things any name whatsoever and simply describing them instead. Let your IPv6-only workloads connect to IPv4 services. This came out at a few regions last year, but as of now, the managed NAT gateways in all regions have an additional functionality to support their usurious charges. New, additional checksum algorithms for Amazon S3. It sure would be nice if someone explained which of these algorithms are superior for which use cases, rather than leaving it as an exercise to the reader. Look, I gotta level with you. I am well past the point where I could memorize that stuff. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Chaos Search. You could run Elasticsearch or Elastic Cloud or OpenSearch, as they're calling it now, or a self-hosted Elk Stack. But why? Chaos Search gives you the same API you've come to know and tolerate, along with unlimited data retention and no data movement. Just throw your data into S3 and proceed from there as you would expect. This is great for IT operations folks, for app performance monitoring, cybersecurity. If you're using Elasticsearch, consider not running Elasticsearch. They're also available now in the AWS Marketplace if you'd prefer not to go direct and have half of whatever you pay them count toward your EDP commitment. Discover what companies like Equifax, Armor Security, and Blackboard already have. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io and tell them I sent you just so you can see them facepalm yet again. New Customer Carbon Footprint Tool. 3 months delayed in the data it shows, remarkably poor granularity, and none of the data needed to make meaningful decisions like move this workload to another region, or store that data on S3 instead of EBS, or scale your EC2 instances down at night. Yep, this is definitely a day one AWS release. Amazon Timestream 2021 in review. Compared to the 2 years between its announcement and release to customers, doing a year-in-review post 3 months after the year ended is underpants, outside-the-pants, superhero-style fee speed for Timestream. Learning about AWS Service Health with the new AWS Health Dashboard. There's a new AWS status page in town, and it's not reflected any incidents all week yet. So please, break something so we know it's working, AWS. And finally, experimenting with Bitcoin blockchain on AWS. AWS has to balance a lot of different customers and their respective concerns. This blog post addresses the portion of their customer base that's grown worried that AWS might not have complete clowns driving some of their decisions. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. Stay salty, friends.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.